So most of you probably recognize the piano behind there. But do you recognize that other timbre? Sense the relative position of the thereminist's hands and control oscillators for frequency with one hand and amplitude or volume with the other. The electric signals from the theremin are amplified and sent to a loudspeaker. You are listening to is Clara Rockmore, one of the virtuoso performers of the theremin. And this is from a recording session in 1975, and this was a lost theremin album. This was Clara Rockmore, and I will get you the name of the pianist in just a moment. But first, let's listen to a bit more of that. This is now Clara Rockmore playing some Tchaikovsky. Decades of the 20th century by radio engineers experimenting with radio vacuum tubes. Heterodyning effect is created by two high radio frequency sound waves of similar but varying frequency, combining and creating a lower audible frequency equal to the difference between the two, approximately 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz, aka human hearing range. The musical potential of the effect was noted by several engineers and designers, including Maurice Martineau, we'll visit him later this evening, Nikolai Obukhov, Armand Givelet, and the Russian cellist and electronical engineer Lev Sergeyevich Termen, or Leon Termen, or Leon Theremin. One problem with utilizing the heterodyning effect, and heterodyning, just so you know, is the effect where two high-frequency signals are added, producing a third audible tone, which is the difference of the two frequencies. And so it was the basis of a lot of vacuum-tubed electronic instruments in the 20s and 30s. And I was looking up some of the technology behind vacuum tubes. The Audion, A-U-D-I-O-N. That was invented in 1906. And then the triode. And they were developed just past it. So, like 1907 is when it was patented. So pretty ancient technology. And then the theremin. That technology to create some fantastic sounds. This effect was the basis of many vacuum tube-based electronic instruments, and for musical purposes, it was so that as the body came near the tubes, the capacitance of the body caused variations in frequency. Rather than being a problem, body capacitance could be used as a control mechanism for an instrument and finally freeing the performer from the keyboard and fixed intonation. Termen's first machine, built in the USSR in 1917, was christened Theremin after himself, or the aetherophone, or sound from the ether. The first instrument to exploit the principle of heterodyning. The original theremin used a foot pedal to control the volume and a switch mechanism to alter the pitch. This prototype evolved into a production model theremin in 1920, which was a unique design resembling a gramophone cabinet on four legs with a protruding metal antennae and a loop. The instrument was played by moving the hands around a metal loop for volume and around the antenna for pitch. The output was a monophonic continuous tone modulated by the performer. The timbre, being fixed, resembled a violin sound. Speaking of sound, it was produced directly by the combination of two RF oscillators. One operating at a fixed frequency of 170,000 hertz, the other with a variable frequency between 168,000 and 178,000. With the frequency of the second oscillator being determined by the proximity of the musician's hand to the antenna, the difference of the fixed and variable frequencies results in an audible beat frequency between 0 and 2,000 hertz. This audible sound came from the oscillators. Later models adding an amplifier and a large triangular loudspeaker. This model was first shown to the public at the Moscow Industrial Fair in 1920 and was witnessed by Lenin, who requested license on the instrument. Lenin later commissioned 600 models of the theremin to be built and toured around the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union in 1927 for the United States, where he was granted a patent for his instrument in 1928. The theremin was marketed and distributed in the United States by RCA during the 1930s as a do-it-yourself kit or as a finished instrument. The heterodyning vacuum tube oscillator became the standard method of producing electronic sound until the advent of the transistor in the 1960s, and was widely used by electronic musical instrument designs of the period. you can hear Chopin on the theremin. And then it cuts off. Nice. Thanks, YouTube. Much appreciated. In other theremin news, how about The Teenage Message, which was a series of interstellar radio transmissions from the Evpatoria planetary radar to six solar-type stars in August and September of 2001. There was the first theremin concert for extraterrestrials. And it had a three-point structure, each containing different forms of information. There was a coherent sounding signal with a slow Doppler wavelength. Here in the second part, analog information recorded on the theremin. The musical instrument produces a quasi-sinusoidal sound, which is extracted easily from background noise. And these were seven musical compositions in the first theremin concert for extraterrestrials. Well, that was the theremin, kind of 1920s, very predecessory to some of our other instruments. But now, let's jump ahead. Let's talk about the trautonium. Traudwein in Germany in 1930. Traudwein designed the first version of the instrument with the aim of freeing the performer from the restrictions of fixed intonation. To achieve this, he removed the usual piano-style manual in his design and replaced it with a fingerboard consisting of a metal wire stretched over a rail marked with a chromatic scale. By pressing the wire, the performer touches the rail below and completes a circuit, generating a tone. A similar technique, copied by the Traudwein, was a feature of Bruno Helberger's Herlitzion in 1929, and sometime later in the On Matino. We'll get to that, don't you worry. The position of the player's finger on the wire determines the resistance in the wire, which in turn controls the pitch of the oscillator. This unusual approach allowed a great deal of expressive flexibility. By pressing harder on the wire, the player could subtly change the volume, and by moving the finger from side to side, the instrument could produce violin-like glissandi, or more subtle vibrato effects. Overall volume was controlled by a foot pedal, allowing the performer to vary the volume and the envelope of the notes. Ooh, there are some fantastic pictures. I will post this on the Vancouver page. The first trautonium was a fairly simple monophonic vacuum tube synthesizer, generating sound from a single Thyratron RK1 tube oscillator. However, by passing this tone through a series of resonant filters, this simple sawtooth waveform could be colored with a wide range of timbre characteristics. This unique form of subtractive synthesis, i.e., filtering down an existing complex waveform rather than creating a complex waveform from combinations of simple sine waves, produced a tone that was distinctive and unusual when compared to the rather plain sound of other valve instruments of the 1920s and 30s. The commercial commercial version, the Trautonium, or the Volkstrautonium, was manufactured and marketed by Telefunken in 1932. But, probably due to the unpopularity of a new, somewhat complicated, keyboardless instrument and high purchase price, 400 Reichsmarks, equivalent of 2.5 months of salary, or more than 5 times the price of a radio, only 13 were sold, and by 1938 it was discontinued. Despite the lack of domestic commercial interest, a number of composers wrote works for the instrument, including Paul Hindemith, Hoefer, Gensmer, Julius Weissmann, and most notably, Oscar Sala. Sala became a virtuoso on the machine and eventually took over the development of the Trautonium, producing his own variations, the Mixtur Trautonium, the Concert Trautonium, and the Radio Trautonium. After the commercial failure of the instrument, Trautwein abandoned further development to Oscar Sala, who continued the work with the Trautonium until his death in 2002. Trautwein also produced an amplified harpsichord in 1936 and electronic bells in 1947. And we've been listening to Harald Gensmer's Konzert für Trautonium und Orchestra, Concert for Trautonium and Orchestra. This is recorded in 1942 on the Deutsche Grammophon record. YouTube, that was rude. This is now Oscar Sala, Fantasia Suite in drei Sätzen für Mixtur Trautonium Solo. Fantasy Suite in 3 parts for Mixtur Trautonium Solo Instrument. Let's get you some ancillary information on the Trautonium. This is from Peter Pickler's site, very well-known Trautonium player. A kip generator aids in the production of sound on the Trautonium. A resonant circuit with a glow lamp, later thyrotron tubes from the AEG, AEG being a large German electrical manufacturing company. These produce an overtone-rich sawtooth waveform. The frequency of this is controlled by a resistor, which is built in the form of a manual attached to a wire. The position of the finger on the wire, i.e. where it puts pressure on the contact rail that runs underneath, determines the pitch. Seamless alterations are also possible. All Trautonium models built beginning in 1934 have two manuals at their disposal. One idea for the formation of sound that would greatly impact future music and was included at the Trautonium from the very beginning consists in the creation of artistic formants. Frequency ranges in which the overtones of a sound, conditioned by the tone generator's own resonance, are particularly strong. The formant ranges are produced with the help of a resonance of a filter circuit. Filter circuit, y'all. And can be altered during performance. The idea for sub-harmonic mixtures goes back to Friedrich Trautwein, but Oskar Sala was the first to test it out with his instrument in 1934. At the time, two further sawtooth wave generators were attached to the main pitch generators, which were controlled via the wire. These generators produced the corresponding subharmonic frequencies, which were integer divisions of the frequency of the main generator. In this manner, one could play intervals, and then later chords, and organ-like mixtures, which were based on the so-called subharmonic progression, a speculative inversion or mirroring of the overtone or harmonic series. The relations produced by this process naturally correspond not to well or equal temperament, but rather to pure intonation. One factor which the performer has to take into consideration. If, for example, they want to play a chord on a manual and in addition to a melody on the other. The Trautonium, as a fretless string instrument, was destined to deal with subharmonic sounds. Another of the Trautonium's many achievements is the excellent control over the dynamics of individual attacks. Oskar Sala found an idiosyncratic solution to this problem. The manuals are spring-loaded and respond to a touch-sensitive liquid resistor. The tone begins only when the string is pushed down and touches the contact rail in such a way that the contact rail gives way. Volume and timbre can also be altered in the same way and at any time, even in the middle of sustained tones. Further, two pedals establish the bass volume, the octave position, and the patch. With the exception of a few models of the Trautonium, namely the devices built before 1935 by Telefunken for home views, the instrument's many variations are one-offs. In 1934, Oskar Sala completed his dual-manual radio Trautonium, Rundfunk Trautonium, which was already equipped with the addition of two subharmonic tones. In 1939, the portable Konzert Trautonium was created for stage use. From 1948 to 1952, Sala worked on an instrument in which he continued to pursue the principle of subharmonic mixtures with great diligence, and which would go down in history as the Mixtur Trautonium. Now, four subharmonic sounds could be added to one fundamental tone. The concept of overtone would be closer, but in fact incorrect. However, these sounds were now independent and freely selectable all the way up to the 20th subharmonic. Oskar Sala composed and played this instrument until 1987. In 88, he presented the public with a new device which was constructed by a team with students from the Technical University of the German Federal Post in Berlin. This Mixtur Trautonium after Oskar Sala combined the traditional playing technique with wire manuals and the possibilities for sound shaping which had been preserved from the original, with the advantages of microelectronics. We are listening to a selection from the album My Fascinating Instrument by Oscar Sala. Very nice. I want to feature one more piece. This is Paul Hindemith with 7 trio pieces for 3 trautoniums. This was recorded in 1977. Come on, YouTube. That's just rude.